thing different. I'm just going to take it for granted that Bishop is in bed and asleep in Entebbe, Africa. And also, remember to pray for them as they continue their trip. They will be leaving from Entebbe, going to the very northern part of Uganda, along the South Sudan border, to visit in the refugee camps and to minister there. I'm going to try to keep this short because Roxanne said she is going to be short so the kids aren't out running amok and stuff. But pray for me, brother. Yes. Amen. Our reading for today out of the New Testament was from 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter. And so that's kind of what I'm going to spring out of. Because asking the Lord, Father Craig told me he probably wouldn't be here tonight and asked me to do tonight. Of course, I just always go and say, Lord, what do you want to say? Not so much what I want to say, but what do you want to say? And usually what that means is that I'm going to say what he says to me a lot, and those things. But I always kind of try to read the readings to see if the readings have something to really say that just speaks to me. And so in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, in the 16th and the 18th verse particularly, this is the things that I've been hearing now for several weeks. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. For those that have been around for like a long time, you may have, back in the late 60s, early 70s, there was a lot of teaching about praising God and rejoicing. But mostly it was about praising God to get out of circumstances and all, to get through trials and stuff. And I think that's kind of been forgotten somewhat. And so like you guys who walking around to hear all of that, maybe it's time for you to hear some of it again or hear it for the first time. Well, what the Lord's been speaking to me is that because of what the bishop talks about Christ in us and that he's put everything in us. And so I always go, okay, I can grasp this, that it's all there, but it's not manifested in my life very much. And so how does that work? You know, I think it was Sunday when Bishop was preaching it about, you know, God trying to get so that these things are manifested, the love, the joy, the peace, and all those things. The Lord just kind of spoke to me about in the natural, how things are in the natural. And I find that most of the time, spiritual things are mirrored in the natural. And that there's natural things that speak of the spiritual things, if we could just see them and connect them. Because all the parables that Jesus taught was always taught in the natural. And then, you know, he explained the spiritual. And so what I saw was the idea of gold. And I began to think about gold and what gold means and just all that has to do with gold. You know, and gold is one of the most precious metals. It's used, sometimes you're wasting time waiting on something at a doctor's office. Google gold and just look at it. Gold has been used for everything. And it's a very precious metal. You cannot recreate gold. Gold is gold. It's all the gold we have is all the gold we have. We're not going to get any more. All of it's been deposited by God. When he created the earth, he deposited all the gold that there will ever be was deposited. It's here. And so there's a process that goes through of different types of mining to get that gold. Now, there's places that have been in the world where you could find gold basically on the very surface of the ground. Those are the places where gold discoveries usually get people find a little bit of gold nuggets. Then they begin to look more and more in the area for gold and find it. But usually it involves some kind of digging or washing with water to get away, to remove the soil and all the rocks and stuff to get down to where the gold is. And it can be a really long process, and in some instances it's a very devastating process to the surrounding terrain, to the earth, especially when they've done it hydraulically by just washing away entire hills and stuff. Good evening. But it's a real process that goes on. And the Lord is just speaking to me about that. Well, that's kind of the way it is for all that He's deposited in us. Those things are there. It's just, how do you get them out? How do they become part of who we really are? And really, the way that mostly works is there's a certain amount when we become Christians and when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and we have encounters with God, there's parts of this, of His life manifested very easily. It's like the gold on top of the ground, the nuggets that people find and all. But the real Christ Himself, that we all long to see, is much more difficult to dig out of us because of the garbage of our lives, the brokenness, the hurts, the sinfulness, and all those things. So it's a real process of trials and tribulations that we go to. But most of us resist that. In the Western church particularly, we're not much on trials and tribulations. I'm not. Now, maybe y'all are, but I'm not. You know, like, I really don't enjoy it, you know, ever. Except I do, when I can kind of embrace it, I do enjoy the end results, because it's always a greater place of being in Christ, a greater manifestation of that into my personal life, myself. Hopefully those things are visible to others, but, you know, whether they are or not, it is for me when I know that I've entered into a different place of peace, different place of trust and acceptance with Him. And so what the Lord's been showing me, and I did some studying on some scripture today and looking at this, is that, you know, most of us, we run around as Christians and we're looking for solutions. Solutions to our problems, solutions to our health, solutions to our finances, solutions to our relationships. And it's very simple, but it's like so much of the things of Christ. The simplicity of it just boggles our imagination that we cannot quite grasp it. There's a commercial running right now for those who watch TV. It's for, Little Caesar's Pizza, I think, where they've done this whole new pizza thing. They put more cheese in the crust, and this guy comes in and he questions that. And the ending of the whole commercial is a guy sitting in a doctor's office, and he's just sitting there, staring blankly, and they say that he couldn't wrap his mind around that much cheese. You know, and that's how it is with the things of God for most of us, is that the simplicity of it, we're not able to wrap our minds around that. We keep going, no, it's got to be more complicated. It's got to be something else to it. And so a lot of times we over-spiritualize Christianity to a place that it becomes this mystical thing that's out here somewhere. And if we could just get mystical enough, we could just get spiritual enough, and it's really not that difficult. And so what the Lord showed me today, and I really want to just communicate to y'all very simply, is that there's a cure, a simple cure for everything. It's very, very simple. It's Christ. That's no surprise. But to achieve that cure, you know, to get the cure from the doctor's office when you've got, you know, when you've got the flu or something, you go to the doctor's office and he gives you something. He gives you a shot or he gives you a pack of pills of some kind. You go and you get something for that cure. Well, we know that Jesus is a cure, but how do we get that? How do we get that cure? How do we make Christ become so real so tangibly real in whatever that situation is that it's undeniable. And see, most of the problems, the trials and tribulations are things that make us, that throw us into confusion, into doubt, into not trusting, into wondering, and into dismay, and like, oh my gosh, you know, how am I going to do this? How's this going to happen? This is the place that we've lost from what a lot of the early Christians have. If you go back and read early Christian writings, you find that the things that they dealt with so easily because they had this direct teaching from the apostles. In Luke, if you have Bibles and you return to all these places, I'm going to read some scripture to you real quickly. I'm going to try to. Luke, the 6th chapter and the 23rd verse in the King James Version. I like their version a little bit better. It says, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets." Well, the prophets were treated pretty bad. You know? And I don't know about you. Now, I've never had like somebody treat me badly, but the world treats me pretty bad sometimes. I feel pretty beat up by the things of this world, the incessive pressure that's put on me by what we call the world, by society and culture to conform and to be. And living in our culture, sometimes those pressures get tremendous. And my tendency particularly, is to run from that, to try to alleviate that pressure. In Romans, the 5th chapter, I hope in reading these scriptures that you'll see a pattern that's emerging. 5th chapter, start with verse 2. "Therefore, whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace, which we stand and we rejoice in, hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also rejoice in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, in perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us." In Philippians, which I just messed up. Oh, there we go. In Philippians, the 3rd chapter, the 1st verse, which has always been one of my favorite verses, it says, "Finally, my brethren." You know, Paul's spent 2 chapters talking to them and writing this letter to them. And then he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing again to you is no trouble to me. It is a safeguard for you. Rejoice in the Lord." In the 4th chapter of Philippians, which is the next page over, which I can't get to, really, come on. Verses 4 through 7. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding or comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various temptations or trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. See, this is the thing that Paul and the early church understood, is that it was through rejoicing in the goodness of God that he was revealed. And so we find, if you read some of the early Christians, when they were being martyred, over and over again, it talked about how they rejoiced, how they went willingly to martyrdom, and they accepted martyrdom, that they wouldn't shy from it. Paul, we know, in reading in Paul's life, they told him he was going to be martyred, and Paul, and some people were telling him, don't go. And Paul said, no, I've got to go. We know Polycarp, one of the great, had direct contact with the apostles, when he was on his way to Rome to be martyred, they tried everything they could to talk Polycarp out of it, and he said, no. Because he accepted that this is how God was manifested. See, too many times our perspective of life is self-centered and not Christ-centered. See, the purpose of our life on this earth is for the glory of God. And that's the simplicity. It's for His glory, not ours. And the more we try to make it for our glory, then it just makes our life so much harder. It really does. It's when we see that it's all about His glory that we can rejoice. No matter what comes into our life, we can just rejoice. I've been able to do that a couple of times. I don't do it very well most of the time. But the few times in my life when I've been put into a situation and I was in a place where I could rejoice, it always resulted in me having peace and Him having glory. See, what He's promised us is that we would have peace and that He would have glory. Well, too much of the times we try to get glory thinking that that will give us peace, which is totally an opposite of the real reality of life in Christ. Over and over in Scripture it says you will have tribulation, these things will happen to you. You read the 5th chapter of Matthew and it's like, blessed are you when everything in the world comes crashing down on you and everybody hates you, nobody likes you, nothing goes right for you. You're poor, you're broke. Blessed are you. Are you kidding me? That's not the American way, is it? You know, we keep thinking if we have everything that we'll have peace. It's only when we have Christ, and Christ is having His glory manifested, that we really have peace. And years and years and years ago now, because I'm getting really old, I went through a real time in my life where I broke my back, and I was working for a guy framing houses, so I had no insurance, you know, and I'd only been working for him a couple of months, and all. My wife had just had an operation and couldn't work, and she had been working for a little like store, like a little country store kind of thing. So there was no insurance, no benefits of any kind, no nothing. And so here, she couldn't work for 6 weeks, and I didn't know what was going to happen with me because I'd broke my back. And had all these medical bills, all of her medical bills, which was not covered by any kind of insurance. At least we was hoping that mine would be covered by some kind of workman's comp. Hopefully, the guy I was working for at least had a little bit of insurance for the workman's comp stuff. And I found myself rejoicing because of the sheer impossibility of the situation made me have to just rely on Christ. And so a friend of mine was talking to me and going, what are you guys going to do? What are you going to do? I mean, I had a house payment and car payment and insurance payments and all that kind of mess and had no income or any hope of income for at least 6 to 8 weeks. And it was so impossible, I didn't have a choice. And so I said, well, I'll wait to see how God is glorified and how He works this out for His glory. Because it's not for me. You know, and I'm willing for whatever this looks like to be what it looks like. And so we begin to rejoice and thank God for being put into this situation for His glory. And see, that's what we need to recapture, is that when trials and tribulations come, when things happen, we need to embrace that as an opportunity and go, wow, this is going to be so awesome. This is so crazy, nuts, impossible. It is going to be so incredibly awesome when God glorifies Himself. When God glorifies Himself. Not when I'm delivered. Not when I'm okay. Not when I get what I think I should get in the situation. No, when He gets glorified. And His glory pretty much looks a lot different than our idea of glory most of the time. See, that's what His glory looks like, is a cross. That's what His glory looks like. That's why Paul said, I don't come to you with words of wisdom. I come to you preaching the cross. Because that's God's glory. God's glory is His triumph, His absolute overcoming, His absolute total complete victory over every situation, no matter what it is. When He rose from the dead, He triumphed over death and everything. And so our life is a life of walking that same thing out. And that's where we kind of forget sometimes. That's where I forget. I forget that my life is really just an opportunity for Him to rewalk His life out. Now, we live in a culture that it would be pretty amazing to get crucified here in America on a cross in a public setting on a hill by the government and by all the powers that be. But there's other things that happen to us here, where He can get His glory, because it's an impossible situation. And so throughout these scriptures, what Paul has been saying and what the Lord has been saying through the Holy Spirit is, it's like, embrace them. Embrace by rejoicing. Be thankful that your count, that be thankful for these things, because they're for His glory. See, for some reason, we just see it with, you know, well, of course, the enemy comes in and goes, well, you know, like you did this. So this, this is why you lost that job. You know, this is why this happened. You know. No. All those things happen for His glory. And His glory is when we can turn and rejoice and be thankful. And He's proved. It says, so that the proof or the genuineness of your faith being more precious than gold, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, it's the testing of your faith. It's the testing of your basic belief in the goodness of God. That you just believe, that you have that faith, and that faith gets manifested because you rejoice. And that you have this opportunity. So rather than when things happen to us, like, you know, what I find myself doing is things go wrong. Like I can't turn the page. Like what just happened, I'm fumbling and all these things. My first temptation, my trial, my tribulation right there is to go, oh, man, are you kidding me? It's, oh, man, really? You have a flat tire and it's like, really? I mean, what we're really saying is, really, God? Really? And he's saying, yep, really? Really? So is something that ridiculous is going to make you waver in your faith? Because you couldn't get two pages apart? And you feel like you're looking stupid and like you're totally blowing the whole world because you're not matching what you think your image should be? Right? Really? Really, God? Yes, really. Really. Because it's about faith in Him. No matter what's happening to me or you, it's do I believe? Do I just simply have that faith? And if I really have that faith, then I will rejoice. See, in the years and years ago, I got involved very briefly and was in around the whole word of faith thing and the whole faith thing that was going on. And it all sounded good to me, you know, and I tried to embrace that. And I realized, well, that really doesn't fit that well. Because it makes me, if I make it work, then it makes me look good. But what about Jesus? You know, see, Jesus looks good when no matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad the situation, the cross, no matter how dark the tomb, do you believe? Do you rejoice? And if you really have that kind of faith, I think if we really begin to understand and we really have faith, then we will naturally rejoice. And because whatever comes our way, we go like, okay, did I do something? What did I? Did I like? Was I like really stupid? You know. And let the Holy Spirit go. No, no. It's just what's happening. Oh, well, awesome! Because you're going to be glorified. And run to that to see Him glorified. See, He's not glorified by wealth. If He was, then Jesus would have been wealthy. He's not glorified by everything looking right, or Jesus would have looked right. He's not glorified by being the coolest guy in town, or Jesus would have been the coolest guy in town. We like to think that. See, He is opposite to us. We think that His glory is big. So everything has to be big. Everything has to be better. And He says, no, everything has to be the cross. That's what my glory looks like. The simple love. So anyway, y'all pray for me as I struggle through my life of living in faith. Because it's the only way that we please God. It is the call of the Christian life. The call of the Christian life is not all the stuff. It's part of the Christian life, but that's not the call of the Christian life. The call of the Christian life is to live by faith. And sometimes that faith is rejoicing and trusting God when you can't get two pages apart. Or you have a flat tire when you have an appointment. Or something physically happens to you and you're thrown into an impossible situation. Rejoice. Luke says, rejoice and leap for joy. Paul says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.